Alright, what's going on everybody? Welcome back to the Roar Podcast. I am your new host. My name is Cassidy. I'm a communication major here at Warner, and I'm very excited to be hosting. This is one of my favorite things, so very excited. I have some pretty special people with me today, if they want to go ahead and introduce themselves.
Hello, my name is Matthew Haddon. This is my second year here at Warner University. I'm an agricultural studies major, and I'm on the clay target team.
Hello, my name is Abigail. I'm a sophomore, and I am also a Bible theology and ministry major with a minor in English.
Hello, my name is Charles Swanson. I'm a junior here at Warner University, and I'm studying Bible theology and ministry with a minor in underwater basket weaving. So,
okay, nice.
I work in admissions. Do not ask about that minor.
Yeah, I was going to say out of the four of us work in admissions, so.
You guys should have heard about it. It's tragic.
What?
Underwater basket weaving.
What?
Underwater basket weaving. Anyway, we have a podcast.
Yes, we're podcasting people. All right, so funny story about this podcast. It's still technically February. It's the second to last day of February, but it's still technically the love month, so. We had recorded this episode, and unfortunately, it got messed up. So we're back, but we're all excited to be back. We're going to have a good time. Like I said, February, love month, so we're still going to stay on the topic of dating and love and all things like that in college. But before we get into the meat of the episode, we all know what we have to do. We're doing the roar. If you've seen the Shrek movie, the little kid, it's like, do the roar. So...
How did that go?
Do the roar. But it's the tradition of the podcast, so yes, exactly. Do it again.
Do it.
Yes.
I love you, Diddy.
All right, who's doing the roar first?
I think Mr. Swanson.
I'm going to do it in Greek, biblical Greek, Koine Greek, if you will. You ready? Roaros.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I will report that to our teacher and see if he's correct or not. My turn?
Yes. Abigail, do the roar.
Roar. I'm good now.
That was a good roar. Matthew, do the roar.
Roar.
It's like a concerned, like...
I was going for the philosophical roar. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that.
Not aggressive, but curious.
Just right. Just right.
And for our host?
Roar.
Nice.
It's very classic. Assertive, yeah. It's the classic. All right, let's just jump right in because we love the roar, but it's time to go. So we've talked about this before, but with it being February, let's talk about the ever so popular Valentine's Day. Do we think it's cliche?
Oh boy. So I thought about, I can't remember what I said.
Let's get out our note card.
The tragic thing is going to be that I've thought about it since then. I'm probably going to say something different, I think. I don't know. But I don't remember. Did I say it was cliche?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because I was worried if I didn't say it was, and then now I'm saying it was after the fact, you know, I might get, you know, yelled at. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think it. I think it's a little overrated. You know? So that's... That's Charles's humble opinion on the situation.
I do think it is cliche, because, I mean, well, I say that now, but we did this before Valentine's Day, and since then, this is my first time having a Valentine's where I did have a Valentine, and he did give me flowers and all that jazz, and I was very appreciative of it. And so, while I do think the holiday is cliche, it is one of those things where Charles does not just do deeds like that because it is Valentine's Day, and so it was just like one of those other days.
I should have bought you flowers.
I do think Valentine's is a bit cliche, but at the same time, I feel like having a cliche holiday is kind of nice sometimes because it's like you don't always get to see that cheesy kind of, you know, warm-hearted side of a lot of people in relationships, and a lot of people do have some kind of cold relationships, so it's kind of a day where you can just show that love, even though you should be showing it all year. It's like you still do have that kind of vent.
Yeah, good stuff.
I 100% agree with what you have all said, especially with the doing it not just because it's Valentine's Day, but because it's a special thing that you do for someone that's special to you.
Matthew's stomach just ruptured.
I'm so hungry.
Anyways, going back.
Hold it together, people.
Welcome to now what is going to be called the bloopers episode, because this whole episode has been an absolute mess. Terrell, if you'd like to cut that out, I'm sure you can hear me, or maybe not. So Valentine's Day, I do think it is a little bit cliche, but I do think it's kind of fun in the same way. I think it's very good for candy and stuffed animal companies. It's a good day for them to make some bank, but you know.
I think it's also an excuse for everybody to eat a bunch of junk food.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yes, I, pre-Charles, I used to go and specifically get candy because there was just such a huge, you know, assortment of them.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about. My main diet consists of junk food almost
exclusively. So, I can confirm that.
I can second that.
I already confirmed it.
Yeah, but you didn't second it.
You can third it.
Well,
is this parliamentary procedure we're doing here?
Yeah, there is no thirding.
We'll get into that later. I was going to say something about Valentine's Day and I forgot what it was.
The question was...
Oh, I remember. So I think as a kid, Valentine's Day was a lot of fun. Because did you guys ever hand out like the little like note Valentine cards? Yes, with like Fun Dip and stuff in class.
Yeah.
You ever do the awkward thing where everybody in the class has to give a gift to everybody else?
Yes.
Yeah, like if you're going to bring it, you have to bring it for everybody in the
class.
Yeah,
so I have to give it to that goblin who threw sand in my eye at recess. What is this?
Welcome back to the bloopers episode.
No, but I do remember that if you were the kid that brought Fun Dip for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
They made the Fun Dips where you could write like to and from. You were the guy. You were the guy.
To the goblin who
I remember like making little like mailboxes too to put all the cards in and stuff.
My parents used to help my sister and I. We would buy these big things of ice cream, eat all the ice cream, and we would cut a little square for the mailbox.
Doesn't sound healthy.
That's like a 2-for-1 though.
Hey.
All right. Moving on from Valentine's Day. So let's talk love languages.
Oof.
So let's go through the five. There's words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts, quality time, and physical touch. Now, everyone has a love language, whether you know what yours is or not. There are some online quizzes you can take to figure out what your love language is. I've taken it a couple times just because I feel like it can change. But mine is 100% quality time. And it's not only with, you know, Matthew. By the way, Matthew and I are dating and Charles and Abigail are engaged. So we thought it would be good to bring to have them on the podcast because it's, you know, it's relevant to our lives. But so quality time. It's good not only for what?
Bloopers. I'm sorry.
Quality time is not only just for the person that you're with, but also for your friends and family. So I enjoy.
I'm sorry.
Matthew needs to be excused. You were saying about quality time, Cassie?
I was.
Come on, guys. What are we doing?
Matthew.
I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
What's so funny?
I don't know.
Quality time. So quality time is my personal love language, but it's not only for Matthew since we're dating, but it's also for my friends and family. So I like to spend a lot of time with the people that I love. So if you guys know your love languages, maybe say what they are. And I don't know how you kind of put those things into practice.
I would say for me, I've never taken the test, but if I had to just go off what I feel is mine, I would say it is the quality time is a big one. But also the acts of service. That is something that's big to me. I like, you know, receiving the acts of service towards me, but I also like doing the acts of service towards you and my friends. Because it's like, you never know if like an act of service can make somebody's day.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's something I always want to do.
Yeah, and most of the time that is like the little things that mm-hmm. end up making a big difference.
Yeah, there are giving and receiving love languages. Like with some people, the way that they show love is different than the way they prefer to mm-hmm. receive. So I know for me, with friends, because you know how when you take the test and it'll ask you, are you with someone or are you not? Because yeah. for some people, it is different.
Yeah.
So for me, for friends, physical touch is number one. But in a relationship, it is quality time. Physical touch is still a very close second, but quality time is number one when mm-hmm. I'm with Charles. But when it comes to giving, acts of service is my top for that one.
I think I am I don't think I know for sure because I'm Charles. I think for both it's quality time for me. Hmm. And then I think my runner up, I think was either acts of service or words of affirmation, mm-hmm. one of those. Isn't there another one? Well, there's five. So
gifts. Yes, there are there's gifts. Physical touch.
Oh, yeah. No. Acts of service or words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
One of those are close second for me. Yeah. So,
words of affirmation is also my runner-up. So that's pretty cool. So with love languages, I think it's important to recognize the person that you're interested in's also love language, just to kind of keep a balance. So let's talk. I know we've been out of the game for quite some time, but for our listeners here or those watching on the video, just some advice for when you are looking to start dating, some standards that we might have that they might feel is also a good standard to have when looking to date.
Sorry, I think a professor is currently banging their head again.
I thought that was just me there.
You hear that?
Yeah.
But nonetheless, what was the question again? Advice for looking for people.
Yes, standards.
My advice, look for an Abigail Anderson.
Oh.
Sorry, I am already taken.
No, just somebody who, you know, missionary dating is a concept that I've heard about and heard people speak on before. I'm not going to say it doesn't work
mm-hmm.
because there are stories where it has, but I think that's not for everybody. And so I think for most people, like this could be a generalization, but for mm-hmm. most people, I think it's looking for people who are going to help you in your walk with Christ
mm-hmm.
Rather than steer you away from it. So, mm-hmm. you know, Abigail and I were both human.
Yeah.
And so we still have like human struggles,
mm-hmm.
but nonetheless, I think we said this last podcast too. Like I genuinely believe I'm a better Christian because of Abigail. I don't know if she can say the same. That would be a reflection on my job, I guess.
Now again.
But I think that's one should be your top priority. Mm-hmm. I think in somebody. Because, you know, looks and attractiveness, like, that's all going to fade away. Yes, it does play a part in it naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're going to wake up 60 and not look the same.
Yep.
Spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that I know. I'm not there yet. But so that's going to fade. So you want to find something that's lasting. I
think. Right.
So the same thing with Charles. I absolutely agree with it. One other thing, so whenever I found Charles, I was not looking for anybody, but you need a moment.
My stomach keeps making a weird noise.
It was like, grrr.
That was terrible. I feel a lot better because mine is 2 pieces.
So. I have a bigger stomach, so there's a lot of echo.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
But what was I saying? No, I agree with what Charles was saying, but whenever I found Charles, I was not looking for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that really attracted me to him was the fact that with our conversations, we could venture into any topic, and whether we agreed or not, we kind of debated each other, or we knew each other's thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
He's someone who I can...
Sorry, guys. There's a lot of gaseous movement occurring. Behind the mics here. Abigail, you were saying something about your affection.
Oh no! I threw my ring. Okay, we're good. Sorry, Terrell. This is going to be so fun to edit.
Yes, so with Charles and our conversations, one of our first real conversations was actually kind of a disagreement. And
she says disagreement. I say she yelled at me for 5 minutes.
So this is how you met Story coming in.
Yeah, kind of. But because of that initial interaction, we were no longer really afraid to disagree with one another, mm-hmm. which, you know, works well because now we do know how to work with our arguments. And frankly, we are learning more and more about each other and how we deal with that. So mm-hmm. he is definitely someone who I can grow with, whether I'm in a positive mood or negative mood. Regardless, I'm mm-hmm. learning.
It's awesome. Mm.
So the question is kind of like what to look for. And I would definitely say, like, don't let desperation lead your search for somebody. Because mm-hmm. A lot of people, it's like just because they're so desperate for attention or a sense of belonging that they'll settle mm-hmm. for someone that doesn't really compliment them. So definitely I agree with Charles about looking for somebody that's going to build your faith, not tear it down. I know you and I, it's like mm-hmm. we started dating and it's like faith only grew stronger because it's like we began going to church together and things like that. And don't date somebody that's exactly the same as you.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is going to get annoying.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
But like, you know, Cassie and I started dating and it's like we're both very competitive. So it's like we're always like doing little competitions and mm-hmm. Just things like that. But definitely look for somebody that'll compliment you. But not exactly the same.
100%. Yeah, I 100% agree with everything you guys said. I would also say, this kind of goes along with yours, Abigail, but find someone you're comfortable with being uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. It's like, there is going to be a time where you're going to have some uncomfortable conversations and some hard conversations. So just be aware of...
Louder. Oh. It's not picking up.
Be aware of, you know, who you're looking for and also recognize your intentions, which takes us into our next topic of intentions. So there's kind of the debate of in college dating to marry versus dating for fulfillment. So if you guys could just speak to intentionality a little bit.
Yeah, I think excuse me. I think being intentional is whether you're good at it currently or not, because I'm certainly not, but from what it seems like it's a fundamental part of the Christian life, mm-hmm. You know, being intentional in all aspects. So you hear the old expression, not planning is planning to fail. Mm-hmm. So that applies to dating. That applies, like if you don't have a list of things that you're looking for in a godly spouse one day.
Yeah.
Right? If you're not even looking at for a spouse one day, you're looking for a girlfriend or a boyfriend for, you know, tonight or tomorrow, mm-hmm. then, you know, you're asking for some heartbreak, I think.
Yeah.
You know, with all things, you know, if God's not in the picture, then it's going to be a picture that has some really bad quality. Mm-hmm. The Joker in some Photoshop, because it's still, as I say, what do they call it? Ratchet?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I would say. It's a necessary part of looking for a spouse. You know, you need to try to, I would imagine, get, like, have a plan for finances, you know. Yep. I mean, this doesn't all have to be stuff that happens within the first couple of weeks or months or even, mm-hmm. you know, years for some people. But Abigail and I said this last podcast, are what they call down here a ring before spring couple.
Yes.
Which is such a pity. I mean, not pity, but...
Gee.
Like, those were just one of the very cliche terms.
Yes.
Nice timing, Charles.
I know. What can I say? What can I say?
I think it's cool.
But our story is a little bit different compared mm-hmm. to other people, but nonetheless, I think, you know, eventually that needs to be stuff that is at least on your radar. Mm-hmm. So...
Yes, I absolutely agree with Charles. Like, whenever we first started, like, I would not have started dating him if I did not think he had the potential of being it mm-hmm. for me. And we had already been spending a lot of time together at that point. So he was already somebody who I saw in the near future and far mm-hmm. future to spend all that time with.
Right.
And I think even with intentionality, not only being intentional when you're pursuing the person, but you also need to be intentional during, you know, and it's not, mm-hmm. oh, well, mm-hmm. I, you know, finally have the person, so yep. we're good to go. We're fine. Because if anything, being intentional within the relationship makes the relationship stronger, because here we are, we're already engaged, we're about to get married, and I still know when Charles is being intentional about things, and I absolutely appreciate it, and I try to do it as well. Mm-hmm. And so if anything, it kind of goes back to, you know, how, you know, the essence of love is service in right. a way, because that is what keeps it going.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, dating for me, I'm sorry. Dating for marriage is definitely something that I've always believed in. Even when I was a kid, it's like, what's the point of dating if you're not, you know, this person isn't a prospect. So, and I feel like that's kind of like that desperation and need for fulfillment when people aren't dating to be married. It's like they're just dating to temporarily fill a hole.
Yeah.
When it's like, you know, you just shouldn't do that. It's mm-hmm. like, that's not going to build your walk with Christ either, doing this temporary fulfillment. It's like,
right.
you know, it's written in the Bible. It's like you were to take a spouse and only one spouse for the rest of your life. And so it's like, why would you waste your time with all these other people when it's like you're supposed to be searching mm-hmm. for the one?
Yeah.
So it's like, Cassidy, it's like, I would not have began dating you if I did not think that you could be the one. So it's like, definitely look for that.
We need a box of tissues.
I know, right? That's so sweet. Yeah, that's all great stuff. I would also say that if you have been stuck in a routine of dating not to marry, that's not to say that you can't start now. You know, I think as humans, there's a lot of times where we find fulfillment from things of the world because we're human and we do make mistakes. But just to recognize when you need to take a step back and see what your true intentions are, because that can take you really, really far. So thanks for your answers. That was really nice. Very, very cool. But yeah, just be aware of your intentions, even in friendships and your family. Like all of this stuff pretty much applies to every relationship you could have during your life, whether it's a spouse, a friend, a family member. So yeah, good stuff. So obviously we're college students, and college is a really interesting time to be in the dating / relational world, I guess. Especially because everyone's in such different like areas, if that makes any sense, different seasons. So like you guys are in the engagement and figuring all that kind of stuff out season. We're in the dating season. Some people are in the singleness season, and some even in the marriage season, which is really awesome. But that's not to say that anyone is better than the other. There's definitely things you learn in each season that are very important. But I do think that sometimes it's hard to not get stuck in a rut of being like, why am I still waiting? So I think this kind of goes to contentment in a way. So if you guys don't mind speaking on just peer pressure of feeling like you're not in the right season.
So one thing that I don't think I've really struggled with, and I've been very lucky, is the whole peer pressure thing. Mm-hmm. I dress differently, I talk differently, I, you know, think different things than a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But so it's hard for me to really, you know, naturally I feel it with some things, but I think what I was lucky enough to have is parents and grandparents and influences, professors, mm-hmm. teachers, etc., pastors, who spoke into my life and encouraged me to not, like you were saying, Cassidy, walk with the ways of the world, mm-hmm. but rather pursue things that are going to help you orient yourself better to the God who made you.
Right.
Right. And so for some people, they are called to a life with another person that was made for them, mm-hmm. and them, you know. And So I think if you're oriented on the right thing, if you're aiming in the right direction, everything else should remain in your peripheral. Mm-hmm. So if you can keep your eyes on your God and who God has placed in your life, if it's evident to you, if it's not, that's definitely something you should pray for.
Yeah.
Then the things of the world outside of that shouldn't take up your field of vision, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say to it. I don't know if any of that made sense.
No, that's, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I was kind of in a similar boat as Charles was. So before I came on campus, the people who are now our best man at the Patron of Honor, they got married and I was part of their bridal party. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we would discuss is relationships, obviously, because, you know, we're part of this wedding. And it was not something that I envied at all. Mm-hmm. And so one thing, so I guess in a way I could give advice on how to feel content, but one thing that goes through mind is, you know, God did not promise us to have, that we were always going to have a good, happy life, but he did promise an abundant life. Mm-hmm. And so I made it a purpose to pursue what is abundant, friendships that are abundant, and that included Andrew and Jenna and that relationship. And so I had a lot of really, really good influences for just friendship, relationships that filled me, you know, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. And so, you know, going about my day, coming here to Warner and then meeting Charles, one of the huge reasons why I did not envy a relationship was because my relationship with my friends were better than the dating relationships that I was seeing other people go through as they were casually dating. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Charles was a huge, which is funny because now I'm marrying him, but he was one of the huge reasons why I was content being single, was because this was a friendship that built me up more than anything. Mm-hmm. And I am honestly, like, even now, if Charles and I were just friends, we're not romantically involved or anything, I genuinely think I would still be content because we would have still been building each other up as we are now.
Yeah, I have two things if I can add really
quickly. Go for it.
One, Andrew, isn't that the guy in the last episode that really whacked? I think so. Interesting. Okay. Anyways, I should probably clarify as well. I also didn't come in thinking, all right, which one of these can I go ahead and pick and put a ring on the spring? Like, no, that's not at all. Mm-hmm. So what helped me was is that we had a professor who we both loved and respected who in class talked about his story. And, you know, I had Abigail in my field of vision, per se, and his testimony with him and his wife and another professor, actually, and my own family members helped me put Abigail in that, you know, that direction that I spoke of earlier. So.
Yeah, so kind of like you, even before Cassidy and I started dating, it's like I had a lot of really close friends that I could tell were good for me. It's like they weren't leading me down the bad paths, things like that. So it's like I would have been okay with being single. It's like I was a content person. Of course, then I saw Cassidy walk in a classroom. Well, I walked in the classroom, I saw her, she laughed at my jokes. So I'm like, hey, maybe I do need to investigate before I lose the opportunity.
Opportunity, not lost, by the way.
Exactly. But in college, you know, it seems like the two groups you see a lot of are everybody getting married or engaged. And so it's like, you kind of feel that peer pressure, especially with us dating. And it's like, you know, your friends get engaged and then everybody looks at you like, when are you going to do it?
Yeah.
Like you're falling behind almost. It's like, when are you going to get on board with that? And to that, it's like, my thing is, it's like everybody's in a different season of their life. Mm-hmm. It's like you and Abigail are in a different season of life than Cassidy and I. It's like, you guys are definitely getting into that, you know, place where it's like, you know, you're prepared to be married. It's like you're prepared to go off on your own home and pursue your life. But it's like with us, it's like we still got a lot of other stuff we're figuring out. Even like financially, you know, it's like that's another big role that I feel like a lot of people overlook.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, financial stress is one of the leading causes of marital struggle.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like that's the kind of stuff that I always try to think of and preparing for that. But we're still feeling that pressure from everybody else to get married. And then the other group that we see a lot of in college is the people that are just all over the place, like different dorm every night kind of deal. And so it's like, and then you kind of get that pressure from that group, like, oh, well, why are you sticking around with this, you know, one person? That's like, it's college. It's like, you know, you can only get to do this once in your life, so go out and have fun. And it's like, there is no possible way that you're further in the kingdom doing that.
Exactly.
It's like, you are tainting yourself. It's like, those sins will be forgiven, but you're never going to forget internally what you did. It's like,
There was a lot of pressure in my life because we've been dating since I was 14. I was a freshman in high school when we had started dating.
I was a 15-year-old sophomore.
Yeah, we were little babies. But anyways, so I got a lot of, I'm going to call it side eye from some people in my life because it was like, you're so young. Why are you like wanting to pursue this person so deeply at such a young age? And it's like, why wouldn't I do that?
It's the alternative.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was kind of like, well, you need to be this certain age. Like, you can't get married until you're this certain age. And it's like, but who wrote that rule?
Yeah. So that's other people trying to use their life experience and apply it to yours.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and two, I think it's important for us to kind of realize is that we are at a smaller Christian college where you see more of the people getting married because naturally they're at a Christian college. You would expect them to be oriented toward.
Yeah.
Now, that's, I think, for regular, larger, secular universities where you have so many students that are like, their trajectories are all over the place. Some are just going to go into the workforce. Some may not even finish. Some may go on to, you know, graduate degrees, et cetera. So it's like, that's, it's also a turbulent time too.
Yeah.
So, but that's good. It's important to realize that.
Yeah. You guys all kind of touched on the topic of having supportive people around you, which I cannot stress the importance of. I think recently the both of us have really prioritized finding people that have the same intentions as us.
Hence why we've been hanging out with Charles and Abigail.
Yes, but like, but like, we just can't stress the importance enough of having supportive people in your corner and finding people that are in the same boat as you. Shout out Charles and Abigail and Cole and Amanda for being what we would consider great friends and mentors because they are slightly older than us.
I thought I was younger.
Well, I think Abigail is the same age as me.
I'm 20.
I turn 20 next month.
So technically still older.
For some reason, I thought you were older than me.
No, I'm 19.
What a controversy.
Charles looks like he's 40.
Charles the wise. But anyways, just having a good group of people that you can come to with your struggles or your questions, and you know they'll have a solid answer for you. And if they don't have an answer, you can kind of work on it together to find out what works. So just keeping good people around you. Another thing is keeping God first in your relationships. So I know that's huge for us, and we hope it's huge for everyone listening. And if it's not, I pray that this conversation would lead you in that direction. But just...
Sorry, we are already late for Greek class. Or can we continue? Because it was canceled last Friday.
We can? Okay, sorry.
We should probably let a pause go.
Yes.
We'll speed run. Not speed run, but...
So, keeping God first in a relationship, do you have any tips to doing that and just how you guys pursue that?
Yeah, I can go first on this one. So, I know for a huge thing for us was just every Wednesday and Sunday, be intentional about being in church. It's like, go to church, worship together. Worshiping with your significant other is one of the greatest building blocks in a relationship, in my opinion. Or, because I know some of the times that I've been most attracted to you was when I was seeing you openly worship or seeing you like preach the gospel. Because it's like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like God is first. And it's like the person I love is literally spreading God's word. So it's like, that's something that I could really get behind. And another thing that we've started and that we actually are doing tonight is a little Bible study where it's like we kind of just assess the week, what's going on in your life. And what scriptures could apply to that.
Yep.
So.
I mean, I feel like that is also one way of telling that you have found a good partner is that that person My apologies.
You're good.
That person also makes it easier for you to go serve. Mm-hmm. Because with Charles, it is one of those things where usually, like, if he wants to go do something, then I go with him and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so with that, keeping God first, but you also have to keep in mind that in the same way that there are some things that I do with Charles that I do not do with other people, mm-hmm. there are some things that we will do with God that we do not do with each other. Mm-hmm. So keeping mm-hmm. in mind your relationship with God first, that way you can have that successful relationship with each other, that mm-hmm. way you can have a more successful relationship with other people.
Yeah.
And so that is what was, yeah.
Yeah, so these are words that I also need to hear too. And it is, I think, twofold. If you are intentionally reading your Bible every day, if you are intentionally praying every day, everything else will build upon that foundation mm-hmm. because you're reading, you're intaking God's word that will have things to say about a spouse, how you should orient your life, how you should do what you should look for in friends, how you mm-hmm. should reach and minister to people. And then that's your intake. And then your outtake, your prayers, your petitions to God. Hey, you know, Lord, please help me find mm-hmm. good people who are building their lives upon you to become friends with, that I can then in turn minister with through our lives. Mm-hmm. Lord, place a spouse before me, Lord, that one that is going to help me become a better man. Mm-hmm. And I pray that you make me a better man so that way I can help her become a better young woman.
Yeah.
And, you know, insert the genders wherever, let mm-hmm. this be your prayer. And, you know, if you can just do those two things, I'm confident that everything else will build upon itself.
Yeah.
Because the Bible talks about what it is that you should do. Mm-hmm. So if you're saturating yourself in the scripture, you'll figure out the rest.
That's so good.
Yeah, I agree.
That's so, so good. I love that advice. Really quick, is there any tips you have for, honestly, anyone listening to the podcast, Single, Dating, Engaged, Married, great book, by the way, if you want to read that. But just any tips for anyone that might be listening to the podcast when it comes to love, relationships, anything that we haven't mentioned yet?
I mean, really just that last question.
Yeah.
Keep God first. It's like seek somebody that's going to complement your walk with God mm-hmm. and also your own personality and lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot expect to have a successful relationship with, you know, a boyfriend, girlfriend, or friends if mm-hmm. you do not even know how to conduct yourself in a relationship with the Lord, who all the love comes from him and you mm-hmm. fall short.
Yeah.
And how much more with your relationships where on both sides you can fall short.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the words of the great Timothy Dwyer, read your Bible every day, pray every day, pray for me, pray for the church, pray for yourself, pray for your spouse. So mm-hmm. I'll insert my last response.
That's good. I think one or two tips that I have is hold each other accountable. You're in it together, so there's no reason why you should only be looking at yourself. And that's not to say judge the other person, because obviously we are not called to judge. There is one judge, and that is not us. But just make sure that other person is staying in line, and vice versa. Just ask the other person to say, like, hey, if you see this area in my life and it's not looking good, like, please tell me. Let me know your thoughts and just accountability. But also find someone that you can have fun with. Like, what is life without fun, you know? So just someone that you can have fun with is so important. Because if it's not fun, what is it, you know? Mm-hmm. So with the whole fun topic, what are some things you guys do as far as date ideas or just ways you have fun together?
Going back to intentionality, we make it a point to have like date nights mm-hmm. every week where it is just the two of us away from friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, we usually go somewhere to eat or we'll grab ice cream or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and I think it's important to start those practices now while you're in a dating relationship, because you don't want to lose. Again, this was advice given to us by a dear mentor of mm-hmm. ours, both, who taught here at Warner, who talked about how him and his wife prioritized a date night every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they were dating, when they were engaged, and when they were married, even when they had children, they prioritized, they set aside money for not only that night, but also for, of course, they were blessed with the resources to do so,
mm-hmm.
but for a babysitter to take care of the children so they mm-hmm. could get away. by themselves and to enjoy each other's company and being mm-hmm. intentional. Put your phone away. Don't even bring it into the restaurant. If you need to bring it into the restaurant, keep it in your pocket. Don't mm-hmm. be on it. Don't let that be the thing you see the face of your significant other through.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're also the oldest young people. So, like, we used to go to Bach Tower.
And just lie in the grass.
And just kind of walk through the gardens and stuff. School kind of has gotten in the way of our reading.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when we were in Ohio this past summer doing an internship, we had lots of time to, when we were away from our jobs, mm-hmm. to, you know, read. And whether we were in, you know, you also want a healthy boundary too. Like, you don't want to be, mm-hmm. you know, around each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, just stuff like that. Just simple mm-hmm. stuff. It doesn't have to be grand.
Exactly.
You don't have to have any money to go to a public park and sit and mm-hmm. just talk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't need money for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's another thing for us is, like, we try to prioritize going on dates. And the thing is, like, we're in college, so it's like we're broke. So it's like sometimes there are cheaper dates. Then it's like every once in a while, it's like, yeah, we'll go somewhere a little bit nicer. Anytime we get gift cards from family members, like pretty much almost every time we go on a date, it's like, all right, what gift cards do we have?
Yeah. Which makes it kind of fun because it's almost like a game. It's like, what gift card can we find so we can go do something?
Yeah. And Cassidy and I both like to work out. So it's like there's days where we'll go just have a gym date and then we'll go get like a burrito afterwards.
Sweet.
Just little things like that. It's like I like to fish. So every once in a while we'll go out just fishing. Cassidy doesn't love fishing.
I like fishing, just not
fishing,
for
not
a long period
early,
of time.
Because I'm like get to the boat ramp right when the sun is peaking,
like, which is like 6 a.m. sometimes.
That's when the fish are biting.
What is this workout thing? Tell me about
that. Fitness.
But yeah, and that's another thing is also just sitting in the house watching movies, eating popcorn, junk food, all that stuff. Like last night, it's like we played a couple games of pool.
Sweet.
Ate ramen and watched like the new Outer Banks season.
Nothing says I love you like ramen.
Listen,
that needs to be on a t-shirt.
This guy makes some good ramen.
Sweet. What do you
Sweet
do to it?
Well, that's the thing is like I don't like how much sodium is in the packs of ramen.
Yeah, I also do not use the packets.
I will sprinkle like just a tiny bit of the packet in there. Then I put like a sweet chili sauce, as well as some sriracha and some low sodium soy sauce.
It's so good.
Must make for an interesting after.
Not really.
No, it's actually very nice.
Oh, and the egg. You put the egg in there.
And I soft boil eggs. So and it's a boiled egg, but then you cut it open. It's still like.
But also the yolk. You put like a raw yolk.
Yeah, it's another yolk. I'll like separate an egg yolk and egg white, and I just put the yolk and the noodles. Mm-hmm. And I don't put a ton of broth, but when you put the yolk in there, it almost gives it like a creamy.
Ooh. Have you tried putting spam in it?
No, I don't think I've actually ever had spam.
You need to. It is really, really good. I would recommend the less sodium one, seeing that you do not like the chicken packets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about food, so we
I'll
might as well
some
just...
ramen sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That's
good. Fun. That's we can have a ramen night.
That would be fun.
I'll soft boil a bunch of eggs.
Have your people contact my people.
Okay.
We'll make it.
Charles will be in touch.
You said like TV shows, like we both love cooking shows. Obviously we just talked about food for who knows how long, but just, you know, fun little things. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the beach. I mean, we're in Florida. So if you like the beach, I know Abigail does not, but
not in Florida. No,
but you know, if you are at Warner, what's up? What's going on? We're happy to have you here. Just find like, you know, how long does it take to do a Google search of fun things to do around me, you know? So just find little things. It doesn't have to be expensive. In fact, the cheap dates are usually the most fun anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just have fun together. Prioritize fun.
Campsize a sailboat together.
Yes, we have done that.
With Dr. Lamar. Shout out to Dr. Lamar.
Yes.
Anyways.
And his sailboat that we capsized.
Very nice. So I guess that's all we have. But thank you guys for coming on the podcast.
Yeah,
again.
For having us.
Appreciate it a lot. So last segment, we have our worship song / songs with multiple people of the week. So if you don't mind, go through and say what your favorite worship song is of all time or at the moment.
So mine is Psalm 98, which is by Shane and Shane. It's mm-hmm. called Singing to the Lord. It does, so basically they will take psalms and make songs after that, mm-hmm. which I think we should do more of.
Yeah.
Yep. Shout out to Dr. Swell for that response. I think I said something different last time, but I discovered a new one recently with all this talk of revival going on. Mm-hmm. It's the God of Revival.
Yes.
I don't know who it's by.
I think it's Bethel.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because I saw some of the folks at Asbury yes. singing that song and put a warp zone in your spirit.
So
it did Colt as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've been singing that a lot. If you guys don't mind, can we take a few seconds and just talk about what's been going on at Warner? Like in the past weekend?
So with all the stuff that's been going on at Asbury, you know, if you guys haven't heard of, like, I think they've been going on for a couple of weeks now. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a professor that spoke very wisely that said, you know, you kind of want to be careful jumping to conclusions about like mm-hmm. a revival, because you can't know what a revival is as it's going on, because mm-hmm. the only way to really know whether or not it's a revival is when it bears fruit. If it does,
yeah.
you know, 6 weeks later, 6 months later, mm-hmm. 6 years later, 60 years later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had a recent one that I heard is that, you know, way back in 1970, mm-hmm. Asbury had a similar situation break out. And, you know, shortly after that, universities and like other universities in Kentucky and mm-hmm. other places like that in Tennessee you know, there's something going on with our generation.
Yeah.
You know, there's a big reorientation back towards,
mm-hmm.
you know, the scripture and the life that is holy.
Mm-hmm.
And Warner had a big couple of worship nights, and
mm-hmm.
I saw some things that I've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I've worshiped like I've never worshiped before. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, so I think it's wise for us to keep praying about.
Oh yeah,
you know what that does to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for sure.
The Spirit is present, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Matthew, worship song.
I gotta go, Honey in the Rock.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yes,
that's a good one that I've always enjoyed.
Yes,
really anything Crowder.
Oh my gosh, yes, Crowder. We love Crowder.
I got to. I'm pretty sure I saw him at Winter Jam one year.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I don't know who he was then, but now I do.
Yeah.
That luscious beard and that soul
yes.
voice. Are you kidding me, folks?
That is an incredibly talented individual.
Oh, for sure.
We went to Passion, not this last January, but the year before, and Crowder prayed. Well, he did pray, but played, and he played a different instrument, like, every song. It was insane.
He played a different instrument,
really.
It was so cool.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
Skilled man.
And he played, like, 6 songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
A comment on Honey in the Rock, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we heard that song on repeat.
In Ohio. That is the only song they play.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's very upbeat.
Yep. So as you're driving through cornfields in Ohio, because that's all there is up there, you can listen to Honey in the Rock.
Honey in the Rock. All right. My favorite song at the moment, God of Revival. Oh, big, big one. I love that. But also, I can't remember who it's by. So I'm not going to say who I think it's by, because it's probably wrong. But Son of Suffering, if you have not heard it, give it a listen. It has so many good lines, and it's just, oh my gosh, it makes you want to put both of your hands up and a third hand if you had it. It's so good. But thank you guys for being on the podcast. This was a lot of fun. Hopefully this time it works out better than the last. No errors. Yeah, of course. Thank you guys for listening or watching on the video. We hope that you have a really great week, and we will see you next episode. Bye, everybody.
Roar.